I love old books. I have a few of them in my library, and my dad has a lot of them, and I can remember from the time that I was a very small fellow being fascinated by all of those old books. Suppose you could go into God's library. What all kind of books do you suppose there would be there? You know, of all of the books of all of the earth, there is a book. In fact, it is a recording of names with which no other book can compare. That's the book I would want to pull down off the shelf out of God's library and make sure that my name was in it. You see, this book only comes in one edition. And it's actually never been to the printing press. In fact, its pages are handwritten by the God of the universe. We first read about this great book in the pages of the psalmist in a prophetic reference to the enemies of God in Psalm 69, verse 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul makes reference to some fellow laborers in the faith, and he says, whose names are in the book of life. Revelation 3, verse 5, we read, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The passage we've probably read or heard quoted the most, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, both small and great, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged with things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And then verse 15 of that same chapter, John records, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then in Revelation 21, verse 27, speaking of heaven, none shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When you consider what those verses have to say about that listing of names, it's no wonder then that Jesus would say what he did to the 70 disciples back in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. You remember they came to him after having returned from the limited commission, and they were so very excited, and as they said, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus' reply to them was, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given to you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's what's really important, isn't it? The text I'd like for us to use this evening to pull our attention to that great listing of names, that who's who in heaven, is the text of Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 21. practically the last page in most everybody's Bible. Revelation chapter 22, we'll be reading beginning at verse 10. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. And let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. In that text, we find not the names, but the qualities that will be common to those who are in heaven. For the next few minutes, I want to lead you through that text that we just read and notice the qualities, the descriptions that are given of those whose names are written in the book of life. First of all, there is the righteous. Notice again what he said there in verse 12. To whom will his reward be granted? He says, "I will render to every man according to what he has done." In verse 11, he said, "Let him that practices righteousness still keep practicing righteousness." It's interesting that Revelation begins and ends with grace. And that's terribly important. But there are some folks who tend to leave out what's in the middle between the grace at the beginning and the grace at the end. I don't know about you, but I think empty sandwiches are rather unfulfilling. And when you leave out what's in the middle in the book of Revelation, in between the grace, you're leaving out the righteousness that God requires of all of those who would come to Him. The Greek word in verse 12 for reward is the word misthos, which means literally that which is due. That which is due. Now reconcile that with grace without taking righteousness into consideration. You can't do it. Because we know that grace is not due us. Grace is God's gift. Grace is His favor. Righteousness is that which we respond to God's grace with. We practice righteousness by doing good works to the glory of God. We cannot be saved by our works, but neither can we be saved without our works. James says in chapter 2 of his short letter, beginning in verse 14, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being by itself. Righteousness is the working of our faith. Religion is useless if it is not practiced through righteousness." There are those who believe that good works will make up for all kinds of sin. That's not the case either. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, the Lord said, "There will be some who will be turned away, but they'll say, 'Lord, did we not do this, and did we not do that, and in your name cast out demons and do many wonderful works?' And he said, 'I'll say to them, I never knew you.'" Righteousness, the practice of our faith, guided within the boundaries that are set up by God's grace, will enable us to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here in this reading in Revelation chapter 22, I believe he makes reference to the redeemed. In fact, in verse 14, he uses the phrase, "those who wash their robes." We cannot but realize that that phrase points us to the cross of Jesus Christ and, of course, to the grace of God. In the original language, "wash" in this text is in the present tense and could properly be translated, "those who continue to wash." Not just have washed, but those who continue to wash. Actually, the King James Version, I was reading from the New American Standard Version, but the King James Version renders it differently. It says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments." The textual evidence favors the phrase, "wash their robes." It's difficult for us to understand, but in the original language, technically, in appearance and spelling, those two phrases are very similar in the Greek language, but the textual evidence favors "wash their robes." In Revelation 7, verse 14, the Lord said, "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Washed in the blood is such a familiar phrase to us, but I'm afraid we've missed a lot of the imagery that's there when we read those words or when we sing those words. "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" S.D. Gordon wrote, "What a chemist and an artist in one is Jesus. He uses bright red to get pure white out of dead black." Isn't that interesting? It is the blackness, the darkness of sin, washed in the crimson flow of blood and produces one that has been cleansed to be as white as snow. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. The redeemed will have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The receptive. The graciousness of the Lord is expressed here in a tender invitation. We read it there in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Notice the price of the offer. Without cost. There is no cost. The prophet said, speaking of the price that would be paid for the sacrifice of sin, bread without cost. To eat bread without cost. But there is a condition. There's no cost, but there is a condition. The condition is stated there in verse 17. Do you recognize it? The condition is something that we must do. Come. Let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty, come. Take the water of life without cost. There is no cost, but there is the condition. Only those who are receptive will have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no one can be receptive without being responsive. And then finally, number four, the respectful. The respectful. The Bible is God's book, and we need to respect it. We need to teach our children to respect it. They need to be impressed with the respect with which we regard God's instructions. Nowhere is this thought expressed any more clearly or emphatically in the Bible than it is here in this chapter, Revelation 22, in verses 18 and 19. "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of or from the tree of life and from the holy city," which are written in this book. Those two verses are referred to by some as two of or part of the three watchdogs of Scripture. There's a watchdog near the front, there's one near the middle, and there is the one near the end. These two that we've read, these two verses, make up that third watchdog. The one near the front is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, "You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord which I am commanding you." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Near the middle of the Bible is recorded Proverbs 30, verse 6, which says, "Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be found a liar." And then near the end of the Bible, here Revelation 22, 18 and 19, the warning not to add to nor to take from God's word. Now, there are some who think that as long as they love Jesus or do something spiritual now and then, it doesn't hurt to change things up a little bit to better suit their own desires and whims and fancies. That's a deception of the devil. And as we noted this morning, there are a lot of folks that are deceived. the respectful will be there in heaven. Those who hold God's word in the regard that it deserves. In 1899, Albert Nelson Marquis published his first volume of Who's Who in America. And it included 8,602 names. Very distinguished people. I believe it's been almost every year since then that Who's Who in America has been published, along with a whole host of spin-offs of the same thing. Who's Who in this, and Who's Who in that, and Who's Who in American colleges and universities, and Who's Who in this industry and that industry. Probably there are several of us who get invitations every year to send in a certain amount of money, and our name will be published in that particular issue of whatever field we may be working in. What an honor. In fact, I had forgotten until preparing this lesson that in 1978, my name was listed among the volume of Who's Who in students of American colleges and universities, and it was such an honor that you can see what kind of an effect it had on me. But I just now remembered it and can't really think of a thing in the world that I got out of it. Is your name written in that book to end all books, the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's make sure we conduct our lives so that God is pleased that our names are remembered and recorded. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.